Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interests in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world, one man will assist you on your journey. To become a pinner and grow your presence online, men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host,
Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I've got a great new resource that I'd like to share with you, the free Manly Pinterest Tips Tackle Box. Want to see my go-to tools that I use to create great graphics and boost productivity? Just go to manlypinteresttips.com/tacklebox to download this free resource. I'm very excited to share my guest with you today, Mr. Craig Carpenter, as we talk about being a creative entrepreneur and his new tool, Relay. Craig Carpenter's tenacity and diverse talents in digital media have landed him projects with the most sought-after brands, celebrities, and individuals. Not content with resting on his laurels, Craig considers himself fortunate to have excelled at several disciplines such as designer, animator, podcaster, and photographer. Craig has recently developed the world's first graphics automation platform called Relay. This responsive platform goes beyond traditional design tools as the fastest, easiest way to create branded images for online marketing. Now, this interview is from a live YouTube show that I did with Craig where our live audience asked questions during the interview. If you'd like to participate in one of our live shows and ask your own questions, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out how you can be a part of our live show. You can also text Manly Pinterest Tips to 33444 on your mobile device. This is a fascinating look inside the mind of a very creative entrepreneur, so let's jump right into my conversation with Craig Carpenter.
Craig, thanks for being here today, man. I really appreciate it.
Wow. And thank you for that awesome intro. That's amazing. And let's just get this right out of the way that you are so much more manly. We are like the bookends of hair here. You have like, you're the full hair and I have like the no hair. So let the comments fly on that, of course.
That's pretty good. So, you know, as I'm talking with Craig, you guys, I see Jim's in the audience. I see Don Swick. Renshaw's in there. Mike's Alton's in there. If you guys have questions, make sure to ask us as we're talking and we'll bring those comments in and we will try to answer those to the best of our ability. So, Craig, let's just jump right into it. We had some conversations before and I think it's going to be a really interesting show. But kind of tell me your background, how you ended up, online, and you eventually did a podcast, and then you decided to launch Relay. So kind of give us the backstory to that.
Yeah, it's been a long journey for me. I'll try and keep it as succinct as possible. The only way that I can say it is I love anything creative and media oriented. I've always been that way. I did stop motion animation when I was a kid. I don't know who in your audience might know this, but there was something called the Amiga computer that was before Pac-Man came out. Yeah, and you'd have to load it up. It was called Workbench with a floppy disk. So I've been doing media as long as I can remember and been interested in animation. And as you mentioned in the intro there, I've dabbled in too many things. Now, some might say that that's a little bit too many different things, but for some reason I like to take something that I'm interested in. I like to master it to the best of my ability, not that I'm an expert in the world by any means, but I like to spend about 3 or 4 or 5 years with something. And what I've noticed is I tend to circle back around. And so I'll do music for a while and then I'll try something else. I was a photographer most recently for 7 years. And all of these things are a mashup of a hobby that I turned into a business. And then The one thing I've noticed is I get better and better. Each business I launch, I get better at it.
Gotcha. And you had a podcast in the middle of that too. And I think that's where we kind of first connected. It was Modernpreneur, wasn't that? And it's still out there on iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had any time to do that anymore, but you know, I remember very, very vividly about maybe a year or year and a half ago. I had moved to Boston from North Carolina. It was a very different market up here. I had to spend about a year rebooting that photography business. And I woke up one day and I said, you know what? I've been giving up my Saturdays for about 7 years now. I missed a lot of things, a lot of parties, and I was on the opposite schedule.
Right.
And I woke up one day, I was like, you know what? I need a different way, something scalable, something that's not going to rely just on me. And I started finding all these amazing entrepreneurs. And I'll be honest with you, Jeff, my impression of online businesses was stuck back in the 90s, where like it was all multi-level marketing and things like that. And I found all these amazing people like Pat Flynn, John Lee Dumas, Cliff Ravenscraft, all these people podcasting and making a living at it. I was like, you know what? I like media. I'm going to give that a try. And it was the thing that struck me the most was that these people were very authentic and open about what they wanted to do. And it was all about building an audience. And I had never done that before. As a creative person, I always traded my time for money. I was like, you know what? I want to give this a try. And that's how I landed in the online space. I've only been doing it for about a year, though.
Gotcha. I want to bring up a comment from my friend Ralph Rivera. He goes, I had an Amiga 1,500 and 2,000. They were wicked awesome. I would always brag to my friends that I could display those display over 4,000 colors at the same time.
I believe that. I believe that from Ralph. I follow him, and that I would. That doesn't surprise me.
He probably still codes on it, actually. So, my first computer was actually I don't know if anybody remembers these. Was a Timex Sinclair, which was like these press button things, like a microwave keyboard, and you would load programs. And there was a flight simulator, but you had to use a tape recorder and go, and you'd load it, it was so funny.
We could train wreck this whole interview on geeking out about stuff. The one thing I'll mention real quick is I got caught. I watched that movie Big, where it has the ice wizard in the beginning, and it was over for me when I saw that. And I caught that just maybe a couple weeks ago. Ended up watching the whole movie. Had no intention of doing that. It just kind of sucked me in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, getting back to entrepreneurship and kind of your background. You know, when we were talking before, you had mentioned that you had to reinvent yourself. You kind of mentioned that with the photography thing. Explain that story. How did that happen? And you know, a lot of people, I mean, I even pivoted my business when I kind of started doing the Manly Pinterest tip stuff. And it scares a lot of people. And they think, oh, I'm giving up on my dream. So kind of talk a little bit about, the importance of maybe, kind of doing some self-examination and reinventing yourself in the process.
Well, I'm definitely not an advice giver, but I can only speak to, what I have experienced in my life. And mainly what I've noticed is that I tend to do things and take them to a certain point. And if it's not working, or if it just doesn't feel right with me, or it doesn't make me happy, then I'm like, we only live once, and why continue to do that? And part of that is why I've never really worked in corporate America a lot, because for me, being creative and kind of taking ownership, win or lose in what I do, has always been very important to me. So, when I was doing the podcast, there was a point where I really enjoyed it, but it didn't seem like the perfect long-term fit for me. And I identified personally with the idea that, I looked back at my childhood again, and I kind of wrote down the things one night that really were important to me. And one of the things that was very important to me was to create something that a lot of other people had not, or maybe wouldn't create. And it's been the same with photography. It's been the same with my 3D animation that I was working on. I really noticed that I like to create things that were at least unique enough, like it's hard to say that everybody is a perfect unique photographer, because a lot of things have been done, but at least my point of view, my lighting, my subjects, all the things that I chose were unique. And I really identified with that. So the pivot for me, going through this process of looking at an online business that I could scale and grow, the important thing for me was to find something that was unique and creative. And thus the creative entrepreneur of how I ended up coming up with that term. That was something I really identified with as a kind of a multi-passionate entrepreneur, if you will.
Gotcha. So, and you know, everyone says, you know, the riches and then is in the niches. And do you find that, you know, having these desires and kind of being a Renaissance kind of guy, that it's when you hear somebody say, well, the riches are in the niches, you have to have really niche down. Is that a struggle for you? I mean, does that kind of create friction in your mind when you think about that?
You know, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people online in this online space that I've noticed, I won't say a lot because that's setting up a certain expectation, right. But I do notice a lot of people when they're promoting themselves focus on the money and am I making six figures or am I making seven figures? And to answer your question, the way I think about it is rich is a very, it's a term that, like, to me, being rich is doing what I love and right. being creative and passionate. To someone else, it may be all about the money. I've seen people that, you know, they're all about the money and the cars and things like that. So I think there's still a lot of those people around. So hopefully in a roundabout way, I'm answering your question, but I think having a niche allows you, or an audience that's very passionate and a lot of fans, allows you more choice is the way that I would put it. Because you can create something that maybe you're not connecting with and, you know, you're making a lot of money, but you're not really happy because maybe, you know, you're making a lot off of an ebook or whatever you're selling or a product that you're promoting. But if you're not happy, then once again, it kind of goes back to what's the point?
Gotcha. When we were talking, you mentioned also, and I find this very interesting, because I've thought about it before, but you said you kind of went to a co-work space, and mm-hmm. and that changed some things for you. This is my man cave is my office, and it's only, I tease people, that's only a 30-second commute from my house because it's actually mm-hmm. a separate building. And so I have family, and I can go back and forth, but I have my space, and it's mine. And so
man cave.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, here in a co-work space, I think, well, that'd be fun, but I've been in offices before, and I don't miss it. So talk to me how that's changed your process and why you like it so much for your creativity.
Well, I think that I might be the exception to the rule in the fact that I have been working on my own for way too long. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've done these different businesses, and when I was doing photography, I would come home from an event and I was like, okay, I have 1,000 photos to edit. And I knew that if I didn't edit those photos, that my client wasn't going to get those photos. So it was very easy for me to put my head down, work on that, and get to a certain point. I've found for myself and in what I'm noticing with a lot of entrepreneurs that it's much more of a roller coaster and a very murky water to go through and figure out not only what you want to do, but what's going to connect with your audience, what's going to make you money, and what's going to keep you happy. And I think it was an easier shift for me to kind of get away from what I had been doing and moving into a co-working space versus someone that's doing a 9-to-5 and doing their side hustle that they mm-hmm. want to get into. Okay, I want to work with home. The caveat to that, I think, is, you know, number one, do you have a family? Number two, do you even have access to a co-working space? What's that co-working space look like? Now, the one that I connected with was called WeWork. It's at WeWork.com. And I am in Boston, so I think I have a little bit of an unfair advantage. People in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and the big cities have access to this really growing network of, I think there's like thousands of people in just in Boston here as entrepreneurs and startups. So I was able to get access to people that I think other people in other areas wouldn't be able to get access to. However, the one thing I will say is if you don't have access to a co-working space, consider maybe starting one or at least meeting with other entrepreneurs in your area. And that could be through a meetup, through meetup.com, or, you know, just kind of, sorry, I'm getting about this in a roundabout way, but I think having that breakup of leaving the house, walking around the block, you know, I will say that working for, you know, 10 to 20 years on my own eventually got to me, and I thought I was very resilient to that, but eventually it got to me, and I needed to, I'll share something that's a little bit embarrassing that my wife makes fun of me about. I would actually go inside the bank sometimes just to, you know, have that, get out and have that interaction, because there would be a day that would go by and I would just be head down working on stuff. I was like, oh man, I got to get out of the house. So
got to meet some real people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, you know, you bring up a good point too, because I think, you know, the way I get that, is I'm in a part of a couple really good masterminds. And that's kind of the same thing that you're talking about with the co-working thing is, I mean, I've got people I can bounce ideas off of. We rotate, you know, who's in the hot seat. And so, I mean, it's really has changed the way I do business. And I think that's probably the same kind of thing you're talking about a little bit with the co-working space.
Very definitely. You gotta be a little careful though, because you can go down a lot of rabbit holes in being in the online business. And I found that when you do it too much, it just kind of numbs the brain.
Right.
The best, like I said, I don't try and give advice, but the best thing I could ever offer to someone personally is, if you're stuck or if you're just feeling down, or if you're hitting a wall with what you're doing with your business, just get out and walk, go hang out with someone, do something totally different. And I think that can help kind of get you through those down moments.
Yeah, especially for creativity. I mean, even exercise for me helps kind of kick some of the creative juices loose. I want to pull up a comment by my buddy Anderson Gray. Says, rich doesn't necessarily mean money. You can be rich with the blessings of friends, family, and other things, which is very, very true, Ian. Thanks for that comment. I want to go back to, because a theme that I've kind of had with some of my guests lately, and we've been talking about community. It just kind of naturally came up, and so I'm really interested in this topic, even if it's around a product or a brand. So we're going to talk about Relay a little bit later, but the community that you've kind of built up, you know, and I believe it started probably with your podcast. How has that helped you build and kind of get Relay off the ground?
I would say that just being part of a community is what I've noticed is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it gave me access to a lot of people to ask questions and get a little bit more clarity sometimes. On the other hand, it gave me the access to ask people a lot of questions. So, you know, kind of going into the space, I've seen a lot of people that they get stuck on, what do you think of A, B, or C? What do you think of my logo? What do you think of this decision? And it's been interesting for me to reflect on, you know, 5 years ago when I didn't have anybody to ask those questions. And I think it's great when you have support and you have people helping you, but at the same time, you got to be careful not to kind of lean on those people too much. Gotcha. And in the communities that and the beta testers and the people that I've connected with, I've become very deliberate in trying to surround myself with a smaller and smaller group of people that not only care about what I'm doing, but care about me, and I care about what they're doing and them as well. And I think that just comes with time. I mean, I've spent a year getting to know people, and as you grow your connections and influence and all that, it's harder and harder to, you know, get back to those people. I think Gary Vaynerchuk is one that I've been following a little bit. He's very passionate about, you know, going deep with people, and Tony Robbins going deep with people. And I've been trying to get better at that. I've been trying to reach out and have more chats like this. I've been trying to have actual Skype phone calls and not only talk about business, but right, just say, hey, what's going on in your life, and locally meeting up with people. And I think that's a really important balance, in my opinion, with these communities.
Very good points. Very good points. So what does the world, you were talking about the creative entrepreneur. So what does the word entrepreneur mean to you? And we discussed it because I think a lot of people have kind of the wrong idea of what a entrepreneur is. You know, we mentioned that, you know, people who say they're entrepreneurs are really self-employed still, and are trading time for money. And you kind of had a different definition for entrepreneur.
Well, you know, I don't want to walk into something that, you know, is a debatable topic here or something, but I think what we were mentioning is that I had never, like, you know, 5 years ago when I was doing this, a lot of my friends and family would say, oh, you've been an entrepreneur the whole time. What are you talking about? And for me, it felt very self-employment. So for me personally, it felt like stages of, I would work for somebody else sometimes, then I was self-employed where I was working on my own, but I never used the word entrepreneur, whether I I just didn't, or whether or not it's a more trending word or whatever, whatever the case is, I feel that there's kind of a difference between an artist and an entrepreneur. And it was really interesting because we had that 20-minute chat, and then I actually saw this article pop up on my feed. Like, I think it was like a couple hours after that, which was great timing. But I think for me as an entrepreneur means that I have something scalable, and a startup means that I have something scalable. And that was actually the big pivot for me, was that a lot of my businesses were never going to be scalable. I saw myself getting older, you know, 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. And I just didn't want to, for me personally, be doing, as much as I loved being artistic and things like that, I had reached a point where I just didn't want to, you know, not be scalable. I think that was a double negative there, but I just wanted to still do what I was doing and helping people and creating and being a maker and looking at all these things going around with crowdfunding, all this amazing technology with like 3D printing. But there was a point where I reached where I wanted to be more scalable, and not just in people, but in customers and in the connections I was making. So I feel that an artist and a self-employed person, no matter what you're doing, can always grow into entrepreneurship. But I think it's a word that, at least in my circle of people that I hang out with, friends and family, you know, I didn't really relate to that. And I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, and you kind of led into my next question. What's the difference to you about, we have passive income, and which is really, you know, that's a kind of a buzzword. You got, you know, Pat Flynn, his whole platform is built on smart passive income. Mm-hmm. And what you had mentioned, scalable, a scalable income. So can they be the same thing? Are they totally different? What are your thoughts on that?
I've seen arguments about this out online in terms of, you know, people saying what passive income is, and I think there's some, I think the argument is from some people that there truly isn't any true passive income until you have a business that is going to run completely automated from you. For me, I really like the idea of like a passive product, mm-hmm. but I don't ever want to stop working. I love, you know, right. inventing and you know, growing, and I'm like just born with curiosity. So I always want to be building something. And maybe that looks like OCD to a lot of people, or, you know, a distraction. But right. to me, I love the process. And there's an inflection point where I kind of plateau in my skill set. And it just doesn't do it for me much anymore. So if I can blow everything up and start ground zero and do something totally different, I'm up for that challenge, because as hard as that is, the journey of that in between of improving myself has always been something that I've really connected with.
Awesome. So let's start to kind of dive in a little bit to Relay. Why did you pivot from your podcast to deciding to create and launch this product Relay? Was there a problem you saw that you needed fixing? How did that kind of work?
Well, I actually did not decide at all. I was actually pulled into this, to be honest with you. I've been a graphic designer for a very long time, and I think I did like 30 episodes. And mm-hmm. in that journey, I was like, I'm going to make the coolest podcast with the, you know, like the custom graphic. Like there was something about an artist in me. I was like, original graphics. I actually wrote my intro music for a lot of them, and the outro, and like it kind of got me back into writing music as well. Right. So the podcast was very interesting because it took all of my talents and kind of put them into one thing. And I would sometimes spend hours on the graphic that people would, to promote their show. And a lot of people started approaching me and saying, I love your graphics. I'm just excited to be, you know, on your show. Like I would invite them on the show and they're like, oh, I want to see what you're going to make for me. Right. And from that, a lot of people started asking me, can you create cover art for me? Can you create graphics for me? And I was in this weird place, to be honest with you, Jeff, where I was like, no, I put up my hand and I'm like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Right. You know, like I was in this mindset that I was no longer, you know, and I hope this comes across the right way, but I was no longer going to just be a designer. Right. And I was like, right. I want to do something where I grow an audience and kind of help a lot of people, help small businesses. And from that, I had so many people asking me that there was this switch one day where I was like, I've got to figure this out. How can I help automate some of these graphics and take away this pain point for podcasters? And from that point, I just started doing research and the idea grew and grew. And I found myself tapping back into maybe some of the people out there that used to do graphics back in the day. Especially, sometimes it would take like a half hour to render one frame.
Yeah.
You really had to, like, I didn't really know coding, but I hacked that process with expressions just because I had to. I'm not a big math fan, so okay. I just did it because I was like, I do not want to be here for the next 8 hours waiting for this thing to render.
Yeah.
And I kind of tapped into a lot of those automation tools from back in the day, kind of subconsciously. And that's actually how I created what was originally called Rapid Image, and then eventually grew into the branding of Relay and what it is now.
So tell us exactly, we've been talking kind of around it. So why don't you tell us what exactly Relay does and how it can save us time, and then we'll get into some more things after that. But kind of give us an overview of what Relay is.
Well, first off, I want to just say thanks for the opportunity to share. You're one of the very first shows I've been on, and I really haven't shared this a lot with people in the details of things. I've, you know, blasted out some graphics, and in the past 3 weeks, I've had 700 people that have signed up to be on the launch list. And that's been a great growth for someone that didn't really have much of an audience before.
Right.
And with that being said, the best way I can tell the best way I can explain what Relay is it's its own system and platform where when you add or change a graphic, all other graphics are changed. So right now I have a layout in there, or I have about 100 layouts in there rather. And when you change one layout, if you change your website or add your website, all those graphics are changed. So you never have to reinvent the wheel, if you will, each time. That's kind of the one of the features that makes it very unique. A couple other features are that within those layouts, I am building out for all different platforms. So you have your skyscraper for Pinterest, which I know you like.
Right.
and then I've got a square and wide for Facebook, and then a wide one for Twitter. And because this system is all interlinked, when you create one graphic, I call them families now. When you create a graphic in the family, you can simply click a button and they are all represented. Now, there's a lot of really cool tools that, to be honest with you, Jeff, we're all going towards automation, right?
Right, right.
It's all going to be iRobot someday.
Right.
iRobot and zombies is what's going to happen. But right.
They'll fight each other.
Exactly. So the idea for me is to keep adding these features that I see are gaps in the marketplace right now and inviting people in to kind of grow with me, because I'm just one person, and you know, I've been kind of developing a team of people that are, I've very deliberately been trying to surround myself with people that are very excited about the way this is set up and want to help me grow it.
I know you probably get this question a lot, but what is the difference between Relay and say Canva?
Well, it's a totally fair question. I want to just go on the record about saying that I celebrate all of these tools. PicMonkey, Canva, WordSwag, like, as I was saying, we're all moving towards this automation process. And I'm going to be vulnerable here for a second and say that it was difficult at times for me to create this when I saw all these amazing mobile apps and, you know, people that had, you know, 100-person team or however many people some of these companies have. But I got to say that I just pushed through and focused on the features. And I talked to the audience and the community like you and said, what's missing and how would you like to have this work? And I think one of the things that I see in, we've talked about two things that are different, and I'll add a few more. One of the things that I see out there are a lot of these platforms have, you can do everything, right? So it's almost overwhelming. This is what I've heard from people. It's a little overwhelming to come in and create something very simple when you can do everything. So, When you come into Relay, I wanted to eliminate layers because I think that's been very confusing for people. And for anybody out there that doesn't know anything about graphics, it just means that when a layer is on front or on top, you see that before the other. Well, a lot of the platforms, including Photoshop and Pixlr and some of these other ones, you can layer and move all these things, but it's very confusing. So one of the other features I have is simply when you can turn on and off things by just clicking a switch. So the layers are already there, but you don't really rearrange, so you can't really mess it up. And the other part that's, I think, the only tool out there that does this, at least, you know, from my research, is that all of the content automatically fits. And what I mean by that is when you type text into a box, you don't have to, and actually this is a pain point for me, even after 20 years of being a designer. When you type text into a box, like you can do it in Photoshop, but you still have to scale down the text. And, you know, same with a picture, you still have to scale and fit and move everything around. Relay offers layouts and templates that are not confined by that. So when you type something into a text box, it automatically is represented, automatically scales. So the thing that I've come to the realization with in the past 2 or 3 weeks and identifying with is that Relay is no longer a design tool. I used to call it a design tool, but there's really nothing to design. It's kind of more of a type, drag and drop a photo and you're done. Now, if I'm being totally honest, that's not perfect for everybody because some people like to get in there and move things around. But for somebody that just wants great looking graphics and doesn't want to spend the time or money, you know, developing each one and then creating, like they have one and then they're like, I want to be on Pinterest, but I can't because I've got to create a whole other graphic for that. And if you're launching 5 episodes a week in a podcast, nobody has time for that. So for me, I just wanted to solve the just make it faster and easier for people. That's been kind of my motto. And it wasn't always like that. I've kind of developed that over time in terms of what is this really? It's just fast and easy. And that's what I focus on the most.
You mentioned when we were talking earlier, an SEO feature. How does that work in Relay?
So this is sometimes painful for me to talk just because of where this idea came from. I talked about my photography days and I don't even want to think. I would guess around 10,000 photos. I was doing weddings and events and hand entered every, like I would pick my 30 or 40 photos that I was going to blog about, hand entered every keyword that I could find. So if I was in Boston, it was like Boston wedding event, or, you know, like corporate event, downtown Boston, all with slashes, right? The plus side is that I dominated my local market for photography, and every word that you could think of that you would search for, I came up. Now, I didn't get every one of those, but it allowed me to grow really quickly. And this is just how crazy I get when I get my mind to doing something. I actually went out and documented 40 venues throughout Boston, probably spent, you know, a month directly. And it not only did it build a relationship with people, but it allowed me to create these keywords that people were looking for that venue. I kind of just had this idea, if I was going to book an event, what's the first thing I'm going to get? The venue. So I did that probably for 7 years. And in a roundabout way, that's what I've created in Relay. What you do now is you create 30 SEO words that you want to rank for. This could be local or, you know, global if you want to. Let's say you're going to be Manly Pinterest Tips. You would tag in there, you know, barbecue, Pinterest, you know, man cave, whatever keywords or phrases that you want. And I'm really excited about this feature because when you export any photo out of there, it automatically randomizes and picks those words and tags them in the definition of the file name. So I actually have someone that's a few people that have been doing a case study on this. And one of them is a musician podcast for women. And you can now search on a lot of the keywords that she wants to come up with, like indie band or, you know, female musician, record label, all of those. And she's getting number one ranking in Google image search. So that's just another feature that I feel is part of the Relay ecosystem, if you will, that I think alone these features aren't, you know, anything innovative. Maybe, well, I won't say that alone. They're just not, I don't know. They're wow factors to me, but, but together they are like, you know, boom. So I'm really excited about putting all these things together. This month, we're going to be adding sharing, actually. So that's another feature I think is lacking with some of these other places where, you know, you create a graphic. I just want to share it. I don't want to download it to my computer, then, you know, share it on all these different platforms. My dream is that you click a button and all five of those graphics for every platform go out. And I think that's really in reach here in about the next month, to be honest with you, now that I have a foundation.
Greg, we got a question from our live audience. Greg, did you leverage your online community to get Relay off the ground?
To answer David's question, I think you had asked that earlier, and I apologize, I might not have answered that, but I definitely created a Facebook group. In fact, there was a point where I was really excited about having these communities, so I had created a couple of them. And what I found is you can't manage a lot of these. It takes a lot of time to manage these. There's a lot of amazing groups out there. Kimra Luna is one I'll give a shout out to, and she has an amazing group that she's curated, very active, amazing people in those groups. And I kind of took a page from that book and tried to create a group for Relay. I had several groups. I actually had one called Upward, and I haven't been able to give as much time as I wanted to those. So that's been another aha moment for me is, as an entrepreneur versus, you know, being self-employed, I have a tendency to stretch myself too thin and say yes to a lot of things. And I think if someone's going to start a community, David, if you're thinking about leveraging a community, my tip would be to start it really small and serve that community really well, and then kind of grow it out from there, as opposed to inviting a lot of people in that are just looking to get answers to their questions. That's just what I've noticed in doing this. And you have to be very deliberate in spending a lot of time with those groups as well. Curating relationships one-on-one with people you really connect with has been really important for me. Having one-on-one conversations through Skype with people has been really important in getting that clarity. Sometimes when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, you can't make a decision. So I think those communities can be a double-edged sword for an entrepreneur, to be honest with you.
Ian Anderson Gray asked this great question. He says, this is totally something I am thinking about. How do you scale creativity and helping people?
Yeah, because as an artist, we kind of are very used to, you know, working on our own thing, putting it up in a gallery, you know, getting the name out there. I will say, to answer Ian's question, hopefully, you know, either you're going to be a photographer or you're going to teach other people how to be a photographer, I think. There's a lot of people out there right now that travel the world, for example, and they leverage Instagram to put their photos out there. And I think that scaling out a studio and having a couple people shooting for you is very different than scaling out an audience. So, for example, if you want to focus on sponsorships, it just, to be honest with you, Jeff, it blows my mind that there are YouTube stars out there or Instagram people that they have curated a community that just like to see what they're wearing. And then sometimes they'll get paid $20,000 to put on, a pair of sunglasses from somebody and Instagram it. And it's that blows my mind because I didn't ever have access to that type of a community. But what I'm noticing is those stories are sometimes few and far between. So to answer Ian's question, I think to scale creativity, there's two different ways. One, you can create a studio and then hire people and teach them what you do, depending on what kind of creative thing he's doing, or help people that want to do that. I mean, I was on an Alaskan cruise recently, and there was a point where I was actually going to try and teach people how to use their iPad correctly to take photos on vacation. Because literally I was on the front of this boat and there was hundreds of people out there. And I was like, you know what? If I could just make a book for $50 and sell it to every baby boomer out there that needs to know how to use their iPad better, I could totally have a business. So if anybody's listening right now, you could totally steal that. It's, I'm the type of person that I think a lot of people are, have ideas, but too many ideas to actually execute on. And I think to scale creativity, you need to connect with people that want to learn from you and your experience to be shorter. I feel like a lot of these answers are really in a roundabout way, but hopefully it's helping Ian a little bit.
Craig, this has been awesome. Where can we find out about you and your services?
Sure. I really appreciate that, Jeff. I have RelayThat, RelayThat, and that is an at Twitter handle. It is a .com, so RelayThat.com. I finally just recently got Craig Carpenter, so at Craig Carpenter as well. And I'm just, if you want to email me, you can email me. Personal email is citizencraig@gmail.com, or you can just send me craig@relaythat.com.
One of the things that I want to make sure that you guys who are interested, I'll have all those links in the show notes, that you guys go there and that you, if you're interested in signing up, that you go to those links that I'll put in there and check this stuff out. It's a really cool program. I think you're really going to like it. And as always, we'd love for you guys to go over to manlypinteresttips.com, click on the sidebar, subscribe to the email community, and that way you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Craig here today, because at Manly Pinterest Tips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching. Bye now.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone one pin at a time.